earlier, man talked about Christmas, and yeah, I feel the same way. Christmas is like a whole month deal. Like, after Thanksgiving is over, Christmas almost immediately starts. And for various reasons, I think, you know, there are different reasons. And as commercialized as Christmas is these days, actually, if you look around, there's still a lot of kind of the real meaning of Christmas out there. You know, there's still Jesus, there's still, you know, the manger, and there's still a lot of message that is really true to what Christmas is all about. And I, when I think about Christmas, I always think this is a great opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. You know, for 11 out of 12 months, they probably don't want to talk about it, but for whatever reason, on December, it's okay. You can bring Jesus' name up, and it's all right. And even though we live in a very, very politically correct place, society right now, but even then, I think there is still opening for us to share the gospel. On that note, I want to ask you, show of hands, okay? Be honest. Don't be shy, okay? If you really feel this way, raise your hand, okay? I saw a hand raised back there before I asked the question. But which one of you or any of you feel like you are an evangelist? Like you're good at sharing the gospel. You are one of those people that you can always bring up about Jesus anytime, anywhere. Like you're like Billy Graham or Greg Laurie. Anyone? Show of hands? No one. That's okay. I wouldn't raise my hand either. But this is what I want to talk about today. That actually all of us can be, and actually we're good at evangelizing. More than you think. We are all great evangelists. And I'm going to explain why in the passage that we're going to look at later on. And you are all great at doing evangelism. Every single day. If not at least once or twice a week. And today we're going to take a look at a story in the book of Luke. And we are going to talk about how to become a good evangelist. How can we take full advantage of the Christmas season to make an impact for God when there's opening all over the place for us to share Christ? How can we be a great evangelist? And I really believe that all of us have that ability and can do it. And the passage that we'll look at today is from Luke chapter 5. If you have your Bible with you, please turn there. We're going to read about the first encounter that Matthew had with Jesus. It was his first time meeting Jesus, and shortly after that, somehow he became an evangelist. And we're going to look at that encounter today from that passage and learn from Matthew and through his encounter with Jesus how he became a great evangelist. Okay, so Luke chapter 5, verse 27 to 32. Here's what the passage says. Luke chapter 5 in the New Testament and verse 27. Here's the encounter. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at the disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's pray together and ask God to speak to us today. Father, I want to thank you for this afternoon, and thank you for the season of Christmas. And Lord, we pray that as we look into your word, that your Holy Spirit will speak to us and move us to go out and make disciples of all nations. Lord, help us to understand what you have done with Matthew, and help us to follow in his step as well. Would you be with us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that we saw here is the story. Matthew saw Jesus. Jesus told him, "Follow me." He picked up everything, left, and followed Jesus. The next thing we found out is he threw a party for Jesus. Big deal, right? And I think one of the really neat things is when we think of evangelists, we tend to think people up on stage, like preach the gospel, and then many people come to know Christ. But I love this story because what we saw in Matthew is he didn't do that. And actually, what drove Matthew to become a good evangelist, if you look at the passage, is that he had a first-hand experience with Jesus Christ. How do we know that? You look at verse 27. It says, after this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. By the way, the name Levi is the Hebrew name for for Matthew. Matthew was a Greek name. So Matthew actually, by ethnicity, was a Jew. So his name in Jewish culture is Levi. So anytime you see the name Levi, it means Matthew, okay? So the tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. We knew that Matthew, or Levi, had a great experience with Jesus. Because no sane person would just pick up everything, leave everything, and just follow this guy. By just merely meeting him the first time, say, "Follow me," and then all of a sudden he just picked up and leave. What caused Matthew or Levi, leaving everything, pick up and follow Jesus? That's pretty radical. What caused him to follow Jesus Christ? I believe that the reason why he followed Jesus Christ was because he really had a first-hand experience with Jesus. Here's the thing. We don't meet a lot of tax collectors these days. Matthew says in the passage he was a tax collector. So just some background, you don't know what tax collectors do. They look like this. They don't, but, you know, this is a caricature. Tax collectors are not good people. At least according to the public. Because they collect taxes from you and give it to the government. But on top of that, what made it worse is, you see, at the time when Jesus was on earth, it was the Roman Empire who was governing Jerusalem and Judea and that area. And what happened is, they put these tax collectors in these booths. And so when people travel from one city to another city, these tax collectors are out there collecting money. But the thing is, they're collecting more than what they should have done. You know why? What do they do with the extra money? They keep it and put it in their own pocket, right? So they are usually very, very greedy people. And not only that, for Matthew, in Matthew's case, he was a Jew. Now remember, who's the one who's really collecting taxes? The Roman Empire. They're the Gentiles. Now Matthew, being a Jewish person himself, is collecting money from his own people and giving it to the Roman Empire. So not only is he a greedy person, which most people think of tax collectors are, he is a sellout. He betrayed his own people. He's tricking his own people's money, keeping some, and taking that money to give it to the country who is occupying or dominating, conquering you. So on many, many levels, no one really liked Matthew. In fact, if you look at Jewish literature in their readings, it is actually legitimate and lawful to treat a tax collector badly. It is okay to ignore them. It is okay to keep a distance away from them. It is okay to do bad things against them. Because in a sense, every time they see someone like Matthew, almost instantly they will turn away from him. Because he is a sellout and he's taking money away from you. Who likes friends like that? And what happened is, for Matthew being a tax collector, it is very likely that his own family probably rejected him. And the thing is, he's making good money. He's making real good money as a tax collector. And so you can see how Matthew wasn't loved by anyone. In fact, probably hated by everybody. He was probably a social outcast. But here's the thing. When you look at the passage, it says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. I think on the surface, he's like, it's not a big deal. Jesus walked along, hey, here's that tax collector. By the way, everyone probably has seen him because everyone was trying to avoid him. Every time they've seen that tax collector back there, they're going around him, trying to get around him so that you don't have to meet him and pay your money. But here's the thing. In the original text in Greek, the word saw is not just looking. It has a sense of observing. Meaning Jesus has been paying attention. Jesus has been walking by, walking back and forth, and walking around the city, and noticed that there is a tax collector named Matthew. And Jesus knew, and Jesus took the initiative and paid attention to this guy. Probably all the rest of the people did not pay attention to, nor do they care for, nor do they want to have anything to do with. Yet Jesus went out of his way and noticed Matthew. That's a big deal because I'm sure in Matthew's mind, in Levi's mind, he's probably thinking, going to work every day thinking, everyone hates me, no one loves me, but this is a good paying job, it's paying the bills, but no one wants to even come close to me. My own family probably rejected me. But yet when Jesus walked by, he went out and noticed, Matthew probably made eye contact with Jesus, probably noticed that Jesus didn't look at him the same way that everyone else looked at him. Or the fact that Jesus actually looked at him. Because most people will probably just try to do this. Have you ever walked by friends or people that you're not cool with? You're trying to go away from them, not look at them, make eye contact. And Jesus made eye contact with Matthew. And Matthew probably was surprised, like, whoa, this is new. Someone actually care and notice my existence, aside from just giving me money and trying to get away from me? And I think Matthew probably had heard of Jesus before. By this point, Jesus was very popular. He's been healing people. He's been casting out demons. Matthew probably have heard that this great Jesus teacher has been doing awesome things for people. He's thinking in his heart, probably thinking, wow, if only he can do this for me. But he's saying, why would he do something like that for me? No one else does anything nice to me anyway. I am a tax collector. But I think when Jesus saw him, when he saw Jesus looking at him, he felt something completely different. He probably felt acceptance. He probably felt loved. He experienced something completely different right there in front of him. And when Jesus started walking up and finally tell him, follow me, he's probably thinking, wow. I wanted all those people who have needed the healing. I needed all those people who wanted the love. I wanted all the things that everyone else had. Yet I've been isolated by myself. And yet this Jesus, teacher, prophet, this good guy, I don't know much about him, but he actually paid attention and come to me and said, follow me. Of course Matthew is going to say, yes, I want to follow you. Because no one else has called me to do the same thing. No one else has shown me that love. You can fulfill my void in my heart that no one else tried to do or even extended invitation to do. Matthew had a first-hand experience with Jesus, and that's why he said, yes, I will leave everything. By the way, leaving everything is a big deal. He's leaving his job, a well-paying job. And he rose up and followed Jesus. Something about Jesus that he experienced with his interaction with him, his knowledge of him changed him completely. He had a first-hand experience of God's goodness. We sang the song earlier, right? How great is our God? You know, Matthew experience wasn't like one of those, like, he died, and then he rose up again, resurrected, like Lazarus. It wasn't like dramatic. It wasn't like he was a paralytic. He can't walk. Jesus, come by, look at him. He walked up and started walking. No, it was a very, very simple encounter. But yet it's a genuine, it was a real encounter that it cuts deep into his heart. So much so that he's willing to leave everything and follow Jesus. Now the question for you and I is this. Have you had a good, first-hand experience of Christ's love and Christ's goodness in your life? Have you ever experienced that first-hand, genuine encounter with Jesus? He might not be saying, hi, I'm here. But God does something miraculous. God does something deep into your life. Genuine, you know that has to be God. Because I believe that that's what's the fuel for him to share the gospel. That's what makes him a great evangelist. Because he had a first-hand experience of who God is, who Jesus was, and encounter with Jesus. A face-to-face encounter with him. And my question to all of us is this. Have you had that? And if you had, was it a long time ago when you first become a believer? Or was it a daily experience? Because I believe that God, Jesus Christ, is actively working in our lives every single day. But the question is, are we experiencing that? Because if you're experiencing a very, very long time ago, it's going to feel very, very long time ago good. It's not going to be really, really good right now. And I think particularly for those of us who've been in the church for a long time, my question to you is this. Are you having a first-hand experience with God, or are you having a second-hand experience? Meaning, are you having the experience that your parents had? I know some of us come here because our parents brought us here, and that's okay. That's good. But my challenge to you is, are you experiencing who Jesus Christ is, what he's offering to you, firsthand, or is it a second-hand thing, handed down from your parents? Because if it is, you're only doing that, you're experiencing Jesus, the good, that how great Jesus is through your parents, then Jesus is only going to be second-handed good for you. But for Matthew, he experienced something genuinely from Jesus Christ, his greatness, his love. And I believe the same thing for you and I. If you have not received Jesus yet, he wants to extend the same love. He wants to fill your need. He wants you to be in the kingdom of God and enjoy eternal life with him forever. He wants you to have that first-hand experience as well. So it's not just your parents. It's not just your sister. It's not just your brothers. It can be yours. Something that Matthew had experienced. It was all that he experienced as a result of that. He picked up and left and followed Jesus. And what is really interesting is this. Because he has this great genuine encounter with God, with Jesus Christ, he followed him. The next thing he says is this. Immediately after he said, I'll follow you and start following Jesus, the next thing he says is, he didn't go to church. He didn't go home. He didn't do. We don't know how long it took from verse 28 to verse 29. But it was pretty quickly after that he says this, verse 29. And they said and Levi made a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. What did Levi do? What did Matthew do? He threw a party. A great party. A fun, awesome party for Jesus. I think that's what happens because he experienced. His experience with Jesus was so good, he can't help but to share with other people. He can't help but to celebrate it. He can't help but to share with other people that he knew. That's why he threw a big party and invited all his tax collector friends, and it says all the sinners, people like him, to go to that party so that they can meet Jesus. And when we experience something good, I think it's so true for all of us. When you experience something good, most of the time, if not all the time, you tell people about it. The reason why I know this is because of this. Social media is driven by this whole concept of share. Right? Every time you go on Facebook, there's a good picture, you like it, guess what happens? All your friends see what you like. And then your friends see it, and then, oh, they liked it too. So one time I posted a picture of Luke or Caleb, I forgot. Within 5 minutes, it's like that. That's how fast things can spread out and be shared. But of course, if I put a picture of me, I get one like, maybe. You know? But if it's something good, something great, we just naturally go, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, a lot of people should see it, right? Social media is run by that. You can share a good article. You know, when you see online, you know, people have Twitter accounts. You know, when you get good food, right? There are food blogs. You can, there are Twitter feeds that tells you, this is a great restaurant. You should try it. Because people try something good, and guess what? Hey, you should try that place. And guess what that person is doing? Oh, yeah, let me try that place next weekend. When it's something good, you tell other people. You share it. Black Friday. We recently had Black Friday. There are deals going on. When you find good deals, hey, this is on sale. Are you buying this? Let me buy it for you. That's how we spread good words, right? You don't know who she is. She is our kid's pediatrician. Great story. A couple of years back, she just started her own practice. She's a great pediatrician. We love her. She takes good care of our kids. And a couple of years ago, I think when she first started out, she was partnering with someone. And then she became so popular, she started having her own practice. And then she got so popular after that, by the time we had Caleb, I think, she no longer really accept any new patients unless they're a newborn child or siblings of an existing patient. What happened was She was such a good pediatrician. All the people like me and Hannah start telling our friends, hey, she's a good pediatrician. If those of us who are parents, we know, right? You know your parents. When your friends tell your mom, they have a good tutor. What do your parents do? Oh, you should go to that same tutor as well. Right? Piano teacher, you have the same good piano teacher. Everyone else in the whole church goes to the same piano teacher. Right? We do the same thing. Something great, something good, we go and share with other people. We don't think twice. No one told Matthew in the stories, after I follow Jesus, let me ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, you want me to tell other people about you? No, he's awesome. Let's throw a party. Let's get people in and get to know him. You don't think that either, right? When you experience something good, you tasted something good, you did a good performance, you want to show people. That's why we post it on Facebook. Something awesome, and we want to show it to the other people. When we experience something good, we tell other people. And when I think of evangelism, when I think of sharing, evangelism is nothing but sharing. Something that all of us are great at doing and can do. But the question is, have you experienced it, your experience really that good with this product, or in this case, with Jesus? Because if it is really, really good, you feel Jesus has done something great in your life, and Jesus has done something miraculous in your life, has saved your life from death to life, man, you want to tell other people. And evangelism is nothing but sharing. In fact, the word evangelism, evangelize, comes from a word, Greek root word called euangelion. The first part means good. You guys heard of eulogy? You know, in a funeral, something nice about the person who passed away. You, good. Angelion means a message or messenger. So evangelism, by definition, means you are sharing something good. You are a messenger or you're sharing a good message. Now, when we talk about evangelism, we're not talking about just sharing something, a good deal, a good food. We're sharing about someone who is great, someone who is good. That's Jesus Christ. When we are talking about evangelism, we're saying, have you have a first-hand experience of how good Jesus is? And because if you have, go share that with other people. And that's what we're doing, and especially in this season of Christmas. We have a great opportunity to do that. And when, you know, Matthew, what he did was, instead of going to share the gospel necessarily, or share a tract, or bring them to church, he did what he knew best. To party. And he threw a party. And what I want you to do is, and notice is this. What is required? You guys have party before. What do you need in a party? Okay, before food, what else do you need? People! Because it would be really nice, bad party if it's just you by yourself. Right? We want people to go to the party because we want to enjoy with others. And we saw Matthew invited not a small company, a large company of tax collectors and sinners. Why do you think he invited the tax collectors and sinners? They're their friends, or he had no other friends. Remember, he was a tax collector. Everyone hated him. The only friends that he had are people that the rest of the people hated, meaning tax collectors and messed up people like him. So he said, well, these are the people I knew. What should I do? Bring them over to the party. That's what he did. He said, you know, so we need people for the party. You guys said we need food, we need drinks. And it doesn't come cheap. Your parents throw your birthday parties, or we're throwing a party for for Caleb tomorrow, his birthday today. We're in the process of planning a party. And it costs money, it costs time. You don't want a lame party. You want a nice one. He says it's a great one. And so Matthew put a lot of work into putting together this party. And one thing I want us to notice from this verse is, who is the party for? This is something that God really spoke to me about. When we think of this, we naturally, when I read this passage, we tend to think, oh wow, Matthew experienced Jesus, he threw a party for his friends, and invited Jesus. But the passage said, and Levi made him, Jesus, a great feast. The focus of the party was not just hanging out, having fun with the friends. The focus of the party is to celebrate this Jesus, this Savior, this Master that he's just starting to follow. He wanted to celebrate the great thing that's happened in his life, the relationship with Jesus Christ, and he threw a great party. Then he invited all these other friends to come and enjoy, with the purpose of, hopefully, that they come to get to talk to Jesus. Remember, these are tax collectors. Matthew is probably thinking, hopefully they get a chance to see Jesus the way that he saw me. The party, the focus was on Jesus Christ. And he invited all these people with the focus, hopefully, that they will get a chance to receive Jesus. Hopefully they get a chance to meet Jesus and follow him as well. But the thing is this, all these won't happen. Matthew won't do this unless he was convinced that Jesus was legitimate God. Unless he really had a first-hand experience who Jesus is, he's not going to give up his job and throw this great party that costs money to introduce people to meet him. And my question for you is this, are you in love with Jesus? Do you have that first-hand experience? When was the last time you experienced Jesus working in your life? Man, if it's this morning, you're ready to tell people about it. But if it's a couple years ago, it's still good. But then it's a couple years good, a bad good. And I want to challenge us, think about, allow yourself to experience Jesus. Let him work in your life so that you can become a great evangelist. Because I believe that all of us have the ability. Because we all know how to share. Matthew didn't go to seminary. Matthew didn't take Sunday school class. Do you know the only thing he knows how to do? Have these people come. Here's Jesus. Get to know him. I think we can all do that. But do you believe Jesus is that good? Is the Jesus you believe in, is that good that you can't help but to share with other people? For the next few weeks, our church, we put out a lot of outreach event. And one of the reasons why I want to share this message is, it's not just so that you will go invite friends. Because I believe Christmas season does two important things. First one is this. It gives us a chance to really reflect what Jesus has done in our lives. Earlier we sang songs about Jesus. O come all ye faithful. How great is our God. Holy and anointed one. Your beloved. We are God's beloved. I think Christmas season provides us an environment. We should do that every day. But Christmas season have that environment for us that we can reflect and think back. How good really is our God? And as a result of that, we can go share with other people. And we have great opportunities. You know, for the next 2 weeks, we are, you guys have been having flyers and announcements for that. Next week, we're going to have a church, Hannah and my old church, coming to perform. And they're going to perform a musical called No Room in the Inn. And the week following that, we have the Mother Church Master Choir coming in performing the Messiah. And both of which is not just for entertainment. It certainly helps us to remember Christ, but more importantly, it gives us an opportunity to invite friends for a party. That's what it's all about. We want to throw a party so that people will come and meet Jesus. And the best thing is you don't even need to tell them about Jesus. You just bring them here, and someone else will sing to them, someone else will talk to them. Next week, very concrete application next week. We're going to have worship service at 5 o'clock, not 3:30, 5 o'clock. But before that, we want to have a little party. Yay, exactly, good. So we're going to do a little short talk on origin of Christmas traditions. So I'll talk about that, but that won't be the main thing. The main thing is really the food and the drinks and the company, and we'll have a good time. And then at 5 o'clock, we'll be upstairs joining the Manners congregation. We'll have the performance all together and a worship service together. And so, now, as we think about party, as we think about what we saw, what Matthew did, here's the application for us. There's two things I want to ask you. First thing is, since we have two opportunities for parties, who are you bringing? For the next 2 weeks, who are you going to bring to the party? I think naturally, we just think, oh, the friend that I'm sitting with after school, my coworker. Here, I want to challenge our faith a little bit. I have three groups of people. In your bulletin, you should all have a card called Invest and Invite. Some of you remember that from last year. and that's a card for you to keep in your wallet. And hopefully, you will take the opportunity for this coming week and next week to invest into somebody and invite somebody. Now, here are three people that I want to challenge you to put down names. As I describe them, you think of a name, go ahead and write that in the back of the card. So those will be people that you will invest and invite for next 2 weeks. Okay. The first group of people is this. People whom you think will never, ever come to church. You probably have some names in your head. If you need pens, the ushers, raise your hand, the ushers can give you pens. Okay? They have pens in the back. So someone whom you think, even if I invite him to come or her to come, he or she would never come. And there are many examples of those in the Bible. For example, the Apostle Paul. He was a persecutor. And yet, he met Jesus. And now we have the rest of the New Testament. And so, you never know what God can do. So let's pray in faith. Let's invite in faith. Those never-comer, invite them to come. Okay? So think of a name, a never-comer, write that down. Okay? The second person is this. A second person would be someone whom you invite, they will come. Survey says that there are over 60% of unchurched people. Said if only one person, a church person, invite me to go to church, I will at least go check it out once. 60%. So you invite 10 people, 6 of those people will say, I'll just come once. It's not going to hurt. They don't bite. So is there someone in your mind think that, hey, if I just invite them, hey, they might come. Okay, that's the second person. Here's the third one. Long time no comers. People whom you know are believers, people whom you know, like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, that might have walked with Christ for a long time, and there are some in our group that haven't come for a while. Invite some of those people. Who comes to mind in your mind that, hey, I should invite him, I should invite her? And so these three groups of people that I want you to write on your card, and this week, pray for them every single day. And pick up the phone and invite them. Here I have a couple of practical things to help you invite people. One is, invite them more than once. So don't just say, hey, you want to come this? Okay, never mind. Okay, you don't want to come. Okay. Invite them a couple times. Okay? Second one is, make it easy for them. Meaning, if your friend doesn't arrive, offer to take them. What's the date? Yeah, what is the event going to be? You know, by the way, in your program, you have a flyer, right? We've been giving you the flyers not just for you to keep. Give it to your friend. That way they know exactly what time it is, when it is, what is it about. Tell them what the event is about. I remember hating, before I became a Christian, that is, hating people telling me to go to church. And then they make this great picture of what it is, what it should be. But when I go there, it's nothing like what it should be. So they do this bait and switch thing. So tell them what it is. Hey, we're gonna have a Christmas chorale. We're gonna sing about, you know, Jesus, the Messiah choir, the songs about Messiah, and we're gonna have food. We're gonna talk about the origins of Christmas tradition. Tell them. You never know. They might be interested in coming just because of that. Okay. Number four, remind them the day before and the day up. So if they say yes, oh, I would love to come. Don't just assume that they will show up on the same day. Call them, text them, remind. Hey, you said you're gonna come. Hey, you still need a ride? I can give a ride to my parents. Ask your parents to give them a ride. Fifth, and most importantly, pray. Pray for them. Because we're not just inviting them on our own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask God to help them, to remove any barriers, to keep them, any excuses that may keep them from coming. Okay, so pray like crazy. That's what we need to do. Now, not only who are we bringing, here's the last one. What are you bringing? Not only do you want to bring friends, because the party will be really boring, just have people standing around. You guys mentioned earlier, there should be food, there should be drinks, there should be people who are friendly, that when people come, we're not just all congregating on our own. People who would like to be conversational with the guests that we have. Not just the friend that brought a friend, that guy ended up standing next to him the whole time. You see that happen at church, right? A friend came in and then the two just stand right there. Then everyone else stand on that corner. So we need, you know, we want to throw a good party, okay? So come, be welcoming, come ready to talk to people, and who knows, you might get a chance to share the gospel with someone. Why do we deny people the chance to hear the gospel when it's perfectly fine? So let and continue to pray. So we need people to pray as well. Okay? So with all this said is, next week when you come, actually before that, if you want to volunteer to bring drinks, to bring food, talk to me. Let's make it a real party. And it'll be fun, and I think it'll be great to bring people here to meet Jesus. And start praying every single day. I'll be posting on our Facebook group page prayer request every single day for the next 2 weeks for the events that we have. Because the events is not just for our church. The event is to go bring other people to Christ. And as we've been talking about, we look at Matthew, when you experience how good Jesus is, just like when you experience how good all the other things is in your life, you want to go share with other people. Okay? So next week, bring a friend. And that will be the best application from what we learned today. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for what you've done in Matthew's life. And I want to thank you for what you've done in all of our lives, and especially those of us who've been followers of you and we've put our faith in you, Lord. There is undeniable testimonies of what you have done in our lives. And I pray that you will bring to mind the things that you have done and help us to remember how great is our God, and help us to sing how great you are, and help us to share with others how great you are. And Father, thank you for giving these events and these programs that we can have as a means to throw great parties for you. That I pray that for the next 2 weeks as we celebrate Christmas, that it will be all about you. And that we will celebrate who Jesus Christ is and what he had done for us over 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I pray that as we rejoice and celebrate, Lord, that you will move us to bring a large company of friends and family to come and meet you. Father, I pray for each one of the names that were written on those cards. Lord, I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will cut deep into their lives, start tilting the soil in their hearts, that they will come and they will meet Jesus, that they will meet you, just like Matthew had when he was sitting on the tax collector's booth. So, Lord, I pray that many souls will come in repentance and come to receive you on those 2 days. So, Lord, would you be with us? And Lord, I pray also for our group, Lord, that we'll prepare ourselves as a blessing to others, that we will come be welcoming, we'll come be sharers of good news to them. So would you be with us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.